The House Standing Committee on Employment, Education and Training tabled a report looking into the education experiences of students in remote and complex environments, how education is delivered, what barriers exist, and what could be done to better meet the needs of isolated students. There was a particular focus on improving access for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities living on country for both school-age students and adults. Well, Jack Beetson is a Nyemba man from Western New South Wales who's been actively involved in Indigenous education in Australia and overseas for well over 30 years. He runs the Literacy for Life Foundation, which provides programs for adult literacy among Indigenous Australians. Good afternoon to you, Jack. Happy NAIDOC Week.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joanne. Happy NAIDOC Week to you.
Thank you. What did you take from this report?
Well, when I seen the particular recommendation 8 about providing adult literacy campaigns in communities with low levels of adult English literacy, I thought this might be a very happy NAIDOC Week, because the foundation has been running literacy campaigns. In fact, we're the only education body as such that is using a campaign model to achieve, you know, community-wide literacy in Aboriginal communities in New South Wales. And I think, you know, it's probably timely that these recommendations fall on the tables or on the desks of Minister Cash and Tehan.
What's a campaign model?
The campaign model is where you do a whole community campaign, where you socialise and mobilise the community and get everybody in the community supporting the campaign and encouraging people to join the literacy classes. And we train local Aboriginal people that can read and write to teach those that can't. So it's a real community focus on the community itself, taking control of its adult literacy needs.
And what are the benefits of doing it that way?
Well, that's what works. I think it's absolutely an integral part of what makes the campaign model work. It's not a course. So you enrol people and leave them to their own devices to find their way into the classroom and do all that sort of stuff. The campaign is around, you know, getting the whole community to encourage people to join up. They're coming into classrooms where they're working with families, like, that are working with them to gain literacy skills. So when you're working with family or community members in a classroom, a lot of the shame associated with not being able to read and write sort of disappears.
What is the need for adult literacy programs in Western New South Wales, to your understanding, and what are the benefits when people have actually mastered it?
Well, there's many benefits, and people's health improves. We know in communities that we've been in Western New South Wales that children have attended school more regularly. People can get a driver's licence. You know, in communities where 80% of Aboriginal people that attend court attend because they don't have a driver's licence, and the vast majority of those don't have a licence because they can't read and write well enough to get one. So it can be absolutely life-changing. Other people have, you know, become employed, you know, and you're getting Aboriginal adults reading to their children and grandchildren, which I think is critical.
While we're talking about literacy, perhaps built into our school curriculums, is there still a movement to teach all students language in cultural groups, in not just Indigenous kids but non-Indigenous kids? Is that certainly was something that the previous Aboriginal Affairs Minister Victor Dominello was very keen on. Is that happening?
Yeah, look, to varying degrees around the state, but certainly in some parts, language is becoming very, very strong in communities, and a lot of the communities are using the language nest model like they do in New Zealand, where it's basically being taught in the home. So people, you know, different families will learn and they'll teach it in their homes where people are comfortable, or the nest, if you like, and hence the term the language nest, being in the home. So there's a lot of that happening. And in some schools now, they've got language teachers coming in and teaching language.
Professor Jack Beetson is with me. He's from Literacy for Life Foundation, and we're talking about a new report that's come in looking at the needs of learners in more remote communities, particularly Indigenous communities. Your organisation, Literacy for Life Foundation, had 250 graduates earlier this year from across New South Wales and indeed from around the country. What did those graduates focus on in their education?
Well, because we're dealing with that very, very low literacy in some circumstances, we're just focusing on learning to read and write. But the outcomes of that and the benefits of that, are very broad. You know, it's a point of view that, people are disengaging with the criminal justice system. They're certainly drinking less if they haven't stopped drinking at all. As I said, the kids are going to school. They're able to read at a very basic level. To their children and grandchildren. And in fact, many of the people that have done it have gone on and got a license and got a motor car and so on. So, and by and large, when people learn to read and write, a couple of things happen. One is that they become, far more active citizens and they make better choices in their lives.
Do you see any obvious barriers, structural barriers that could be removed, either to the learning of people in remote communities or to you and your foundation?
Oh, look, I think the major barrier is funding, and I think almost everyone I've spoken to over the last 8 years, either in the media or privately, has said it's an absolute no-brainer that. Funding should be coming to the foundation to roll out this campaign, and I think it has to be. It's now been recommended by the standing committee, not just us, but we've been saying for years that the only way to address low levels of adult or English literacy in the adult population, Aboriginal population, is to do it as a massive campaign model. So the campaign model works. We know it works. It's worked globally. And it's working here. We just need to get behind it and fund it.
Just lastly, we've been learning about different Indigenous places around New South Wales that all of us can visit, and obviously there are some that we can't, but in Nyemba country, what would be the pick for you if you were going to recommend to visitors from around the state, non-Indigenous visitors? Is there somewhere that people should go if they visit your country?
Oh, absolutely. What a beautiful question to ask. I would advise everybody to visit Brewarrina and visit the fish traps in Brewarrina. They are the oldest human construction on the planet and the oldest evidence of engineering. So they're quite famous and they're really well worth having a look at.
Very, very special. I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Thank you indeed.
Thanks, Joanne. Yeah, bye.
Professor Jack Beetson from the Literacy for Life Foundation.